Very special.
Are you lot together? Till next. Okay, so we're in the middle of doing Chazorah. Let's try and complete our Chazorah round, and then Be'ez Hashem will continue on to the next Gemara. We're up to the Gemara where it says, 6th bottom line on the Lamed Hey on the base, Gufa. We had already mentioned the Brisa, or the Memra. Omar Yudah Mashmuel, V'chein Omar Yitzhak, Omar Bechanan, Shemen Zayis, Mvorchen Olav Bore Prihoetz. Olive oil, the bracha is Bore Prihoetz, which wasn't really our main discussion. It was only brought in by the Bai because the Gemara was talking about when you upgrade grapes into wine and you upgrade olives into oil. So we mentioned this memras, now we're going to rediscuss it. And it says, you make a bracha, Bore Prihoetz. So the Gemara says, Hei Chidomi, how so? What exactly is the case? What are we discussing? In which case would you in fact make a bracha of Bore Prihoetz? Ilema, if you're going to tell me we're talking about the koshosi lei, that he drank it, he literally just took a cup and he drank olive oil, oizuke mazikle, it would damage him. Remember Rashi said, uzuke mazik legufe, that it damages his goof. You saw maybe the Rambam learned differently, but the Rashi learns, and others also, that it damages his goof. How do I know? The Tanya, because it says in the Braisa, Hashoise shemen shel truma, if somebody drinks shemen that belongs to a truma. When it says someone, obviously it means not the Kohen himself, somebody else, a non-Kohen. Mishale mesakeren, he would on the one hand pay the keren. Why? Because at the end of the day he drank somebody else's shemen. Forget the fact that it may be truma. At the end of the day you stole somebody else's property, so obviously you have to pay the keren, which means the capital. But what about the additional choymesh, which one has to pay when one, as a non-Kohen, eats truma? Says the Braisa that no, you do not have to pay the choymesh. Why do you not have to pay the choymesh? The answer is because when you drank it, the Torah specifically says, this is the way Rashi learns it, that it's got to be achila. In order to be machayev, the choymesh has to be achila. And when you drink something which is damaging to you, that cannot be considered an achila. That even though certainly you stole it, obviously you stole it. If I take your chair and I eat it, it might not be considered a maisa achila, but it's definitely a gzela. Obviously I've got to replace it. But that's in cheshen mishpa, that's a monetary issue. But with regards to truma, you've got to pay the extra chaymesh, then there's no halacha of chaymesh because you didn't really eat it. However, if hasoch shemen shel truma, if instead of drinking the shemen you smeared the shemen, then mashalem is a keren, and also mashalem is a chaymesh, you'd pay both the keren and also the chaymesh. This we discussed last time, because smearing oil can be considered to an extent like drinking it. But either way, why are we discussing this? Because I see quite clearly that when you drink oil, that doesn't consider, it's not considered nachila before. And if it's not considered nachila with regard to truma, then presumably the same with regard to brachas. So we don't really understand. How on earth can you be told to make a bracha of Bore Prihoetz when you drink shemen zayis? The first is not considered a maisa achila at all. Says the Gemara, you're right. Hello. We're going to have to reconsider. We're going to have to say, Deka ochil lei al yedei pas. You're right. You didn't eat the shemen be'en. What does be'en mean? Be'en means in its pure state. Rather, it was together with bread. Under those circumstances, it is not damaging. So I would consider that, understand that it is considered an achila. Makes good sense. You have to make a bracha. Says the Gemara, no, it still doesn't make sense, because yachi, if so. What does that mean, if so? If we're really discussing a case where he ate shemen together with bread, presumably as a flavoring, then havile pas ikka, then the bread would be the ikka, vohu tofel, and it, what's it, the shemen, would be the tofel. And we have a famous principle that Mr. Shem we're going to discuss many, many times, Beis HaShem in his perek, where it says, this is the rule, whatever you have an ikka and with it a tofel, you make a bracha on the tofel, and that patters the tofel. Make a bracha on the ikar, and that passes the tofel. Therefore, so too, if you eat shemen together with bread, you're 100% right. That's considered a maisa achila because it's no longer damaging. But don't tell me that's the case. You'd make a bracha of bread pre-oed because actually you don't make a bracha at all on the shemen. Ela, third attempt. The kashasi le aliday anigroin. What's anigroin? It's a certain michael which you put shemen into. The Omar Rabbi Bashmul anigroin maya de silka. It's the water that you cooked a certain type of vegetable in it. And sigroin is maya de kulushulki. If it's water of any vegetable, not silka, then we don't call it anigroin, we call it ansigroin. But either way, if I mix the shemen with the anigroin, then once again, I'm not drinking the shemen ben, says the Gemara, fine, but I've got exactly the same question. Im kein, havele anigroin ikar v'shemen tofel, and we've already established, v'tanan, zehaklal kol shu ikar v'imoy tfeilo mavorech alo ikar, poita esa tofeilo. So we discussed this last time, why did the Gemara bring in the whole ikar and tofel principle once again? I mean, we already mentioned it. This we just pointed out, so we're going to have to come back to this in Mitzvah Hashem, that clearly there's different types of ikar and tofel. When we have a general principle of ikar and tofel, there can be different scenarios why you'd consider one an oichel, one in the ikar, one the tofel. Either in quality or in quantity. Meaning, when you have bread, for example, and then other foods during the meal, now, you make a bracha on the bread, and you do not make a bracha on the other foods. It's not necessarily because the bread is more in quantity. We have one slice of bread and then a whole meal. So there's clearly the quality, because the bread is kosher. That could be one example. Another example may well be, imagine you want to have a piece of fish, but it doesn't taste so nice alone, so you put it on a cracker. So the cracker is not the ikar. The ikar is the fish. You need to make a bracha on the fish. We mentioned the ice cream and the cone. I want to have an ice cream. I want to have, put it with a cone. Now, there too, you don't make a bracha on the cone. The cone may well be more in quantity. There could, in theory, be more cone than ice cream. And yet, we still consider the ice cream to be the ikar. So clearly, ikar and tofel doesn't necessarily depend on the amount. It depends on chashivus. No, no, not if the cone is just there to help you eat the ice cream. See, if it's a certain type of cone that you actually enjoy eating, it's coated in chocolate, etc. But if it's just a practical way of holding up the ice cream, make a bracha on the ice cream, and that's it. Even though there may well be more cone than ice cream. So clearly, ikar and tofel doesn't necessarily depend on quantity. However, you could have a different scenario. You could have a scenario, for example, where in quality, they're all the same. You have two different foods mixed up. There's no one more choshev than the other. For example, a soup, all different vegetables. You wouldn't necessarily say one is more choshev than the other. So there, maybe the quantity would play a role, which is considered the ikar, whatever's the roiv, or whatever's the most common ingredient. So either way, there's going to be different ways of calculating ikar and tofel, and we saw Rashi said quite clearly, when you mix the shemen with the anigroin, it's shemen harbe. It's the shemen harbe. So until this point, we're going to see when you're choshesh begroinoi, at least when you're choshesh begroinoi, which is the next line of the Gemara, the shemen is harba. But until this point, the shemen is not harba. So all of a sudden, we're talking about harba and not harba. What does harba mean? We're talking about the quantity, the amount. So you see that there's different ways of measuring and calculating and determining what is considered the ikar and what's considered the tofel. So we're going to have to remember this, Mr. Hashem, throughout the perek, because we will be discussing this principle, I hope, many, many times. See, either way, at this stage of the Gemara, we still have not worked out when is the actual case you'll make a bracha on the shemen. If I drink it alone, it's damaging. If it's with bread, the bread is the ikar. If it's with anigroin, the anigroin is the ikar. So you're never going to make a bracha on it. Says the Gemara, Hocha b'mayaskinon, b'choshesh b'groinoi. Now, just as a little dikduk over here, why did the Gemara not say Ella? I thought Ella was one of our favorite words. Ella, whenever we retrack and we suggest something brand new, we said Ella, like we've said so far twice. We've already said Ella alidea pas. And then on the bottom line again, Ella de koshosil alidea nigrin. So why didn't it say Ella over here as well? Because the answer is it's the same case, it's just an explanation, it's not a new case. In the beginning we suggested you drink shemen by itself. Most of it doesn't make sense. Okay, Elo. Reboot, start all over again, brand new scenario, it's shemen together with pas. Most of it doesn't make sense. Why not? Because it couldn't tuffle. Okay, Elo. Reboot, brand new case, shemen together with anigrain. Now when the Gemara query doesn't make sense, Iker and Tofel, we're not now suggesting a brand new case, we're just modifying.
It's still
anigrain. Ah, the anigrain is the Iker. Why is the anigrain the Iker? Because it's the main part, it's the biggest part. The answer is no. Not if you're choshesh begrainai. When you're choshesh begrainai, if you look at the top Rashi says, the Tzorech Lo says, boy, shemen harbeh. Oh, so this is not a brand new scenario. This is just a modification or an explanation of what we meant when we said anigrain. If you're talking about anigrain, but not where the shemen is just the flavoring, to the contrary, where the shemen is the main part, because that's what you need for medicinal purposes, so then to the contrary, the shemen is the ikka. Says the Gemara, Hocha Bayaskinon, what were you dealing with? B'choshesh b'groinoi. D'tanya, ha-choshesh b'groinoi. Lo ya'arenu b'shemen t'chila b'shabbos. Remember, this is a halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. You're not allowed to take refuah on Shabbos. So if somebody has a sore throat, he should not gargle shemen b'tchila on Shabbos. That's the way Rashi learned, as opposed to Tosfos. Rashi learned that ya'arenu means you gargle it and it sits in your mouth for a while. Aval, noisim shemen harbe l'toich anigroinu b'ilea. Rather, you put a lot of shemen in the anigroin and you swallow it. So either way, what do I see from there? But how is shemen taken for refuah? A lot of shemen together with a little bit of anigrain. So don't tell me that the shemen is the tofel. It's not, it's the ikka. So much so that the Gemara turns around and says, well, if that's the case, pshita. Well, if it's the ikka, obviously you make a bracha, isn't it obvious? No. Mahu de tema, I might have thought, kiven de l'refuah kom chavein, because he is intending to drink it for refuah. Loi lavrich o leho klal. You shouldn't make a bracha on it at all. Why? Because the Havamina was anything taken for refuah is no bracha. Komash malon. Kiven de isle hanna omine. Seeing as the end of the day you enjoy it, therefore boy bruchi. Therefore you do make a bracha. So it's clearly evident in the Gemara that the Gemara did not retract from what we thought in the Havamina, that something taken for refuah, there is no bracha. The Gemara didn't change its mind. All the Gemara said is that this is different because you don't benefit from it. Because you benefit from it. But if you don't benefit from it and it's taken for refuah, there's no bracha. The Gemara didn't say, no, that's a mistake. The Havamina was, anything for refuah is no bracha. The Gemara didn't say, no, that's a terrible error. No, it's 100% true. It's just that in our particular case, you're actually enjoying it. Now, we've discussed last time, if somebody takes some medicine with a pleasant taste, which is very often the case, especially in the case of children's medicine, they put pleasant taste to it, therefore, it would be a bracha. Even though you're taking it for medicinal purposes, and no child is taking the medicine just for the purpose of enjoyment, then today you enjoy it. Whereas a medicine which has no taste or unpleasant taste, you would not make a bracha on it. Okay, so we've finally worked out what is the case that you'd make a bracha on shemen. It's not when you drink the shemen by itself. It's not when you have it with bread. It's not even in a normal case with anigrain, but rather when it's taken for refuah, then it is enjoyed, and mamela, you would make a bracha. Okay, says the Gemara, kimcha dechiti. Rashi learned, literally, you take flour of wheat, and you eat it. Rav Yehuda Omar Boire Pri Hoa Domo. Rav Nachman Omar, Shahakoil, Mia Bidvarad. So the machlokes are here between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Omale Rava le Rav Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, remember Rav Nachman has just told us that you make a bracha of Shehakol. Says Rava to him, no, loy tif loy golel to Rav Yehuda. If I were you, I would not argue with Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the one who said you make a bracha of Bore Pri Adama. I don't understand why you're disagreeing with him, because Rabbi Yechanan Veshmuel Kaimi Kavosi. You're not just arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, you're arguing with a whole long list of prestigious Amoraim, namely Rabbi Yechanan, Shmuel. How do we know? Where did they ever discuss Kimcha Zechiti? The answer is they didn't. But we're trying to compare. So there's Shmuel, and there's Rabbi Yechanan, Shemen, Zayis, Mevorchin, Olav, Borei Pri Ha'etz. This is the statement that was mentioned before, and that's why it comes in our Gemara again. That they both said, you make a bracha of Borei Pri Ha'etz on Shemen. Now what on earth has that got to do with Kimcha Dechit? He says the Gemara, Alma, you see from over here the what? Even though it changed. What changed? I'm talking about Shemen Zayis. I'm not talking about the original Zayis. I'm about the Shemen Zayis. Nonetheless, it remains in its original status. When you take a Zayis, you say Borei Pri Ha'etz. Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan both said that so too when you have Shemen Zayis, even though it's completely changed status, nonetheless, the bracha, however, remains the same. Ah, so let's now make that a general principle and we'll say Hachanami, so too in the case of Kimcha Dechiti, Afagav De'ishtani, even though the chita has changed, it's no longer wheat, it's now wheat flour, but nonetheless, the milsei koi, it'll remain with its original bracha, i.e., Borei Pri Ha'adama. And therefore, why are you arguing with Rabbi Yehuda and you say that the bracha shakal mi b'dvaroi? If I were you, I would agree to Rabbi Yehuda because he's got Rabbi Yochanan, he's got Shmuel, all on his side. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry, I don't accept the comparison. Mi domi? Are they comparable at all? Hosam lesle iluye achrina. Over there. Where's there?
Olive oil.
In a case of olive oil, there is no other ilui. What does that mean, there's no other ilui?
Change, upgrade. No improvement. Further improvement.
Why? Because really,
oil's the final product.
The oil is not a stopping station on the way to something else. When you planted the zeisim, it was in order to produce oil. So therefore, this is the aim of the game. So you make a bracha Borei Pri Ha'etz. But over here, the Israeli achrona. What's that? The past. Therefore, when you planted your wheat, don't tell me that you planted the wheat for the sole purpose of producing
flour.
That wasn't the purpose. The flour is really just a waiting station to get to pas. Says the Gemara, so what? V'chi isle eluya achrina, when there is an upgrade, like in the case of pas, loy mevrochin alea borei pri adomo elo shahakol. Why are you challenging me on my comparison to chita, to the shemen? And you're telling me that this is different because there is another ilui, that if you don't make Borei Pri Ha'adama, you make Shahaka. It's not true. For Omer of Zera, Omer of Mas, Omer Shmuel, Akro Chaya, these various vegetables, the Kimcha de Sa'ari, what's that? Barley flour. Mavarachin on Alayv, Shahaka Ni Abidvore. Now if the Shmuel is being very particular to mention only barley flour, can't I be medayik? My love, isn't it true to say dechiti borei pri ha'adama, which is what I claimed altogether. This is what I've been saying all along. Says Rav Nachman, I said that what? Sorry, excuse me. Rav Nachman says you say shakal mi b'dvarei. And you told me that I was wrong, and you should have said Borei Pri Ha'adama. Why? Just like Chitin. So I said, it's not the same as chitin. Why is it not the same as chitin? Because the flour is just a stopping station to get to the bread, but it's not an end in itself, and that's why I maintain that you make a bracha of shahakol. To which the Gemara says, that's not true. Because you see that it's only in the case of barley flour that Shmuel said you made shahakol, but the implication is
the wheat flour
is a bara pri adama. So you're wrong, Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, no, really, the chiti nami shakol nibidvorim. Really, wheat will also warrant a bracha shakol nibidvorim. Aye, velashminon the chiti v'kol shekein v'sari. So that's really true. Why didn't you just tell me the case of chitin that you say shahakol, and I'd say obviously barley, because barley is a less of a prestigious flour. Says the Gemara, no. He asked me on the chiti, because if had I only been told chitin, have I mean, what would I have said? If I would have been told that chitin, barley, kimcha the chiti get shakur, I would have said hanamine the chiti. Avol sari loy livre choleo klal. They didn't make a bracha at all. It's so non-prestigious. And maybe you wouldn't make a bracha at all. Kamash Malon, that's why I need to be taught that you do actually make a bracha on barley flour, but it's not to the exclusion of wheat flour. The same would be true in the case of wheat flour as well. You make the same bracha. Says the Gemara, Mi Gora Mi Melach, Vazamis, is any worse than salt and Zamis? Titznan ala melach vala zamis o mishakel mi bedvaris. So I see that what? To salt, even though you would have said salt is also not very choshev, and yet you still make a bracha of shakel mi bedvaris. How can I tell me that I would have thought that you don't make a bracha on sari because it's not very choshev? So what? So is salt also not very choshev? No. It's trich. Salkadat chamin, I would have thought that melach vazamis of it inish, a person would, the shodi lepume, a person would put it in his mouth. On occasion, a person would want to have some salt for whatever reason. Avol kimcha d'sari hoil v'kosher l'kukiyani, because it's bad for his stomach. Lo yiliv recholeo klal. That's why kamash v'lan, I need to be told that kimin d'is lehano minei, because at the end of the day, you do actually have benefit from it. Therefore, boy beruche, you would make a bracha on it. So either way, Rav Nachman is insistent that you make a bracha of shahakol mi'abidvorei. And by the way, not only does Rav Nachman's opinion remain true to the end of the sugya, we actually pass on a lot of Rav Nachman. So initially, we were attacking Rav Nachman, and he's arguing, and everybody's arguing. Rav Yehuda is arguing, and Shmuel is arguing, and Rav Yechanan. Says Rav Nachman, no, I'm not arguing with Shmuel and Rav Yechanan. They were talking about Shemen Zayis. It's nothing to do with barley. With flour, excuse me. I maintain that wheat flour, the bracha is shakol and vore, and in fact, la locha lamaisa, that's the way we pass it. Okay. The final sugya that we saw last time, koire. What's koire? Koire are the soft branches of the palm tree. So what's la locha? Rav Yehuda omar, boire pri adomo. Shmuel Omar Shahakol Mi'abidvarai. Why? Rav Yehuda Omar Bari Pri Adama Peiru. At the end of the day, it's a pri, it's something that grows in the tree. Shmuel Omar Shahakol Mi'abidvarai Hoyol V'Soifei L'Hakshis. It's not really a pri. Why is it not a pri? Because it's going to turn hard. It's going to become inedible in its development. Omale Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel turns round to Rav Yehuda, and you'd expect him to attack him, and to the contrary, he agrees with him. And he says, Shinana, sharp one, Kavosteich Mistabra. Logic, in fact, dictates the way that you said, i.e., they should make a bracha of Bri Pri Adama. Why? Dotsnoin, because a radish is also Seifei Lahakshayis. And I maintain that, well, because the Kairi is safe for Lahakshis, it loses its very pre-Adama. But I see, to be perfectly honest, that I'm wrong. Where do I see that I'm wrong? Because it says, in the case of a tznoi, which is also sleep for the hakshos, and it says there, you make a bracha of
bray priyadom.
It's not tznoi, sleep for the hakshos, and varachin on aleha, bray priyadom. Therefore, says Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda, I must be perfectly honest and admit that my whole svara of Soifoy Lakshis doesn't really stand true, because I see in the case of Tznoim that even though there also it's Soifoy Lakshis, but the bracha is to a very prevalent. Says the Gemara, no. Veloihi, that's not the case. It's not true. Tznoim, in the case of Radish, Noti, Inshi, Adaita, the Pugla. A person really plants it in order to have the radish. But in the case of Dikla, Loi Noti Inshi Adaiti Dekoire, you didn't plant them in order to have these soft branches. You wanted it to get hard. That was the main purpose. And if that's the main purpose, therefore the fact that it's Seifoy Lahakshois is significant. Don't prove to me from radish that it's not significant. It jolly well is. Says the Gemara, really? The kol heicha de leinati inshi adaita de hochi. Whenever a person did not plant something for a particular reason in mind, are you telling me that what? Loi mevarachin on aleo, you would not make a brach on it? And that's why you want to insist that these koire, where you did not have in mind for the soft branch, you would not make a brach on bere priyadoma? But surely we have learned very tzlaf. What's tzlaf? Certain tree which has many different peres. Denoti inshi adaita de paracha. A person certainly planted the tree. Why?
For its
flowers. And yet the tznan almini nitzbo. Well, it's not flowers actually. It's fruit. Is this very hot, by the way? Is it blowing up cold?
Just blowing over.
Okay. Yes. So Almine Nitzper Alo Alin Vala Tmorois on all those various fruits, Oimer, Bairi, Privo, Adama. Valo Evyonis, Vala Kafrisin, those are the fruits and the peels. Oimer, Boire, Prihoit. So I see that what? Even though I didn't have in mind stage one, I even had in mind stage two, but nonetheless, it does require a bracha. I don't say no, you look at the final product. Says the Gemara, no, there's different. Amar Nachma Yitzchak Tzlaf, Noti Inshi Adaita Deshusa. When you planted your tzlaf, you did have in mind stage one as well. You weren't only looking at a final product, but Dikli, Loi Noti Inshi Adaita Deshusa. But when it comes to the decal, nobly planted the decal for the sake of the small, soft branches. Therefore, that's why you'd really look at the final position. And therefore, L'choira, you would not have to make a bracha, because you've got to look at the final stop, and the final stop is not the soft branches. That's the more in conclusion.
You'd make a bracha, but no.
Right. However, but Afagav the Kol say Shmuel or Yehuda, even though Shmuel praised Rabbi Yehuda, but nonetheless, the halacha is not like him. Hilchasa kevasei b'shmuel. Halacha is like Shmuel, and the halacha is you make a bracha of shakol mevatar. Ad gan. Okay, that was end of Chazara round one. Our first Chazara is Hashem. Now let's try and move on. It's Hashem to the next Gemara, which in a way is a little bit of a continuation. A little bit uncontinued. We'll see. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Tzlaf Shel Or Lo B'chutz La'aretz. Now, Tzlaf, we've just mentioned, Tzlaf is this tree that produces various fruits and peels. So the Chayre is subject to Or Lo, as fruits are. In Chutz La'aretz, we maintain the halachas of Or Lo apply, but only the Drabonim. only midrabbanan, which clearly means that obviously there'll be more room for leniency with regard to Or La'in Chutz La'aretz than in Eretz Yisrael. What exactly the parameters are, we'll soon see in a moment. So it says there, Tzlaf Shel Or Lo B'chutz La'aretz. If I have this Tzlaf tree of Or Lo, but it's not in Eretz Yisrael, it's in Chutz La'aretz. Zoyreik Os Havyoinos. What are the avyoinos? What did we say before?
The berries.
It's the fruit. If it's the berries, then the halachas of Or La apply to it, and if you're going to throw it out, you can't have benefit from it. By the way, Or La is not only osa to eat, it's also osa bahana. That's why it's zayir. If it was mutter to benefit from, we wouldn't say Zerek. We'd just say, don't eat it, but give it to a goy, or sell it, or do whatever you like with it. Just don't eat it. No. I've got to throw it out. But, v'oichel es the kafrisin. But you are allowed to eat the kafrisin. Why? Because what is the kafrisin? It's not the fruit, it's just the peel around it. So if it is the peel around it, why then are you allowed to eat them? Because only the fruit is subject to Or La, but whatever is not the fruit is not subject to Or La. So it seems to be that we are, at least in the Chutz La'aretz for the moment, it seems to be that we are relating to the Evyoinois as a pre, and as the to the Kafrisin, which is the clip or the peel, as a non-pre. And that's what the Gemara's point now. Lameimra, are you telling me the Evyoinois pre? It seems to be that you're telling me that the Evyoinois is a fruit, and that's why it's subject to Or La, and that's why we said you have to throw it out. As opposed to the Kafrisin, Lav Peri. The Kafrisin, however, is not a fruit, and if it's not a fruit, Or La does not apply to it, and that's why you may eat it. That's what it sounds like you're telling me. So why is that a problem? It's problematic based on the braisa that we mentioned before, and that's why it comes in. But surely, v'raminu, we can ask a sira, because we learned al minei nitzpe al ha'alim v'al ha'tzmorois omer b'ri pri adama. On the minei nitzpe, on the leaves, on the dates, you'd make a bracha b'ri pri adama v'al ha'evyoinois v'al ha'kafrisin. Oimer Bore Priyoitz. So you clearly see I'm making a bracha Bore Priyoitz even on
Kafrisin.
Even on the Kafrisin. So how can you tell me you're allowed to eat Kafrisin of Or La in Chutz La'aretz? Presumably you are relating it to it as a non fruit. But if it's a non fruit, why making a bracha Bore Priyoitz? And if we do make a bracha Bore Priyoitz, clearly we're being told that how do we classify it?
Fruit.
As a fruit. Says the Gemara, who doma kerbekiva. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, who is one who authored the initial statement, is clearly of the opinion that we follow Rabbi Akiva's position. Why? What did Rabbi Akiva say? The Tanan. Because we have a Mishnah, now we're moving from Or La to Maestras. And it says, Rabbi Leza Oimer, Slav, Misaster, Tzmorois, the Evyoinois, the Kafrisin. So what's it saying there? According to Rabbi Leza, which part of the Tzlaf tree do you have to take Maisa from?
All of it.
Basically everything. Tzmorois, Evyoinois, Kafrisin. And what did Rabbi Akiva say? Then no. Ein misaser elo, Evyoinois bilvad. The only thing you have to take Maisa from is the Evyoinois. Why? The Pnei Shehu Pri. Because it's a Pri. So you clearly see that what does he hold, however, when it comes to the Kafrisin?
It's not a pre.
It's not a pre. So therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda Marav says that you're allowed to eat the kafrisin of Orla, whose opinion does he seem to be following?
Rabbi Akiva.
You challenged me from the other mission that says that I do make a bracha on the kafrisin, so clearly it is a fruit. So why are you telling me it's not a fruit? So he says, I have Rabbi Akiva backing me. So we have to remember over here, we're discussing three different topics simultaneously. What are the three topics? Brachas, Orla, Maisa. So whenever we compare and contrast, we always have to know, does the comparison hold true or not? So again, initially we want to compare brachas to Orla, because we were told in the name of Rav, with regard to Orla, the kafrisin may be eaten. So clearly he's establishing a principle for me. The kafrisin are not fruit. And if they're not fruit, no ilchus Orla apply, and that's why you may eat them. If we move over now to the area of brachas, and it says quite clearly that what bracha do you make on the kafrisin? Appropriates. So it seems to be that what? That it is a fruit. To which we now brought in a third subject called Orla Maestras. Because I see that in a case of Maestras, so what? That Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that you are not taking Maestra from the Kafrisin, only from the opinion. Ah! So Rabbi Yudam Arav is backed up by Rabbi Akiva. In other words, we didn't reconcile Rav with the Mishnah that says you make a bracha of Bari Pri Oeis on Kafrisin. We didn't try to. I clearly argue. All the Gemara says is Pesedah. He's allowed to argue because he's following a Talmud. And Amira can't just follow the opinion, can't just ignore the opinion of a Tana. But if in fact is following the position of another Tana, that's a prerogative. You may do so. So basically, what was Rav teaching you with regard to Orla? What was he teaching you? That the Kafrisin is... Kafrisin is not considered a fruit. That's why you may eat it. And the Gemara says that his source was from Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says you don't take maestras from kafrisin. So obviously Rabbi Akiva also maintains that a kafrisin is not a fruit. Says the Gemara, the name, last word on the line, let him simply say the halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. So basically all Rav is effectively telling me is that what? That he paskins like Rabbi Akiva. So why don't you just say that halacha k'Rabbi Akiva? In other words, Rav is not really being mechadish to you a new din. When we heard Rav's memra for the first time, what did he tell you? That the avyoinos you've got to throw out, and the kafrisin you can eat. It sounds like the mechadish me a tremendous chiddush that I relate to the avyoinos as fruit and to the kafrisin as non-fruit. Tremendous chiddush. It turns out it's not a tremendous chiddush. It's a long standing machloikas tanoim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, and Rav, for whatever reason, is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So why don't you simply say, everyone should know, Allah is Rabbi Akiva. You have to tell me the whole din as if that's your chiddush. That wasn't his chiddush at all, that's Rabbi Akiva's chiddush. So why don't you simply say, listen, the chiddush is not mine, It's a long-standing machlokes in two tanoim, and I've decided the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Finished. Says the Gemara, no, because that would be a little bit confusing, misleading. E oma halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Because if you would have said halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, remember, what was Rabbi Akiva talking about?
Maestros.
So if you would have said, I agree out and out with Rabbi Akiva, Hava Amina, I would have said, Afilu Ba'aretz. What does it mean, Afilu Ba'aretz? Even Eretz Yisrael. I would see no reason to distinguish at this stage of the Gemara. If you would have simply walked into the base of Medrash and said, Halacha, Rabbi Akiva, I would have said, fine.
With regard to
Orestris. And so too, Orla. Right? Rabbi Akiva was never discussing Orla. What was Rabbi Akiva discussing? Maestris. So if you would have simply said, Mayrab Rabbi Yisai, the Halacha in Orla is like Rabbi Akiva, period. Without going into details. So Morris says, no, that would have been very confusing. Because then I would have thought, now what does he mean, even in even Eretz Yisrael?
So what he was saying, even in Eretz Yisrael, I would have thought that you could throw, you could eat.
Right.
The
if he simply would have said, if he simply would have said Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, I would have thought that he's taking Rabbi Akiva's opinion to the absolute extreme, and he holds the Rabbi Akiva absolutely. Maestras, Orla, Eretz Yisrael, and Halacha is that the Avyoinos is considered a fruit that has got to be thrown out, and the Kafrisin are not considered a fruit, and you may eat them, and you would have thought and understood and misunderstood that that's true also in Eretz Yisrael. Kamash Malon. That's why I need to be told we have a famous principle. Kol Hamekel Baret Halacha Kemoisai Bechutzaret. We have a principle. Whenever we have a machlaikas in Orla with regard to Eretz Yisrael, there's machlaikas. So even if we don't want to actually paskin that halacha, but one thing we do know, that in Chutz La'aretz, we can take on the lenient opinion. Why?
Says
Rashi. Orla b'chutz la'aretz midivrei seifrim hi. What does that mean, midivrei seifrim? It means only midrabanon. So the principle, the call, I make all ba'aretz, ba'orla. Whoever is Mekel in Eretz Yisrael with regard to Oila, Halacha K'moistoi B'chutz La'aretz. The Halacha would automatically adopt the lenient position in Chutz La'aretz. Why? Says Rashi, De'kiven De'eino Min HaToyro. Because Orla in Chutz La'aretz is not Min HaToyro Tanim Drabonon, therefore Halacha HaMekel. Therefore you could follow the opinion of the lenient one, which means if you ask Rav, what do you paskin in Eretz Yisrael, what would he say with regard to Orla? What would he say? Who would you paskin like in Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. It's not getting involved. That's why he never wanted to say Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, because then everybody would have understood that he's paskin like Rabbi Akiva even in Eretz Yisrael.
And what's the Michael position in Eretz Yisrael?
We've got machlekas between Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Akiva.
We're talking about maestros.
And we're adapting that to Orla. If you copy and paste onto Orla, I would be told, therefore, that according to Rabbi Akiva, in Orla, the Avyoinos is the fruit, but the Kafrisim is not. And according to Rabbi Loza, everything is fruit. Now, what is Rav telling you with regards to the halacha in Orla in Eretz Yisrael?
Nothing.
He never addressed Eretz Yisrael, and that's why he didn't simply want to issue a general statement, Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva ba'or Olam. If you would have said Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva ba'or Olam, what would you have said? You would have googled Rabbi Akiva, you would have found that he's not really discussing or he's discussing Meister. You would have said, okay, if he's Meikle by Meister, he's Meikle by Orlo. Rabbi Lozo's Machme by Meister, he's Machme by Meister, by Orlo. And Rav told me, Aloch, is that Rabbi Kiva? So if you make Meikle in Orlo, thank you very much. Even in Eretz Yisrael. That's why I needed to tell. No, I wasn't talking about Eretz Yisrael. I was only talking about Chutz La'aretz. And why there all of a sudden, if you're not prepared to take a position in Eretz Yisrael, why you prepared to take a position in Chutz La'aretz? Because there is a principle. The principle, the halacha in the Chutz La'aretz is like the Meikle in Eretz Yisrael.
Is Rabbi Akiva's opinion on Meister's, is that considered a kula?
Whose position? Is whose position?
Rabbi Akiva.
Right, Rabbi Akiva's a big, right, it's a big Meikle, sure.
Why?
He's
saying that the Kaprizin, because the Kaprizin.
You can eat the Kaprizin, yeah. No chiyuv Meister and Kaprizin, no problem. You only have to take Meister from fruit, i.e. Avyonis. Big Meikle. If you copy and paste onto Orla, it's a big Meikle by Orla as well. Rav didn't want to say Alocha Kirub Akiva by Orla, because then you would have thought you'd be Meikle in Eretz Yisrael, and he wasn't saying that. He was only saying that with regard to Chutz La'aretz, because then he could be safe to pass an Arab Akiva, because you take on the lenient opinion. But in Eretz Yisrael, they don't even take a position yet. Says the Gemara, you're still not out of it. Why not? The Nema, why didn't you say Halocha Kirub Akiva B'chutz La'aretz? You didn't want him simply to say Halocha Kirub Akiva B'orlo, because then you would have assumed and misunderstood that he's passing the Kirub Akiva even Eretz Yisrael. The Seder is to make a point of stressing to B'chutz La'aretz. Name Alocha Kerbekiva Bechutz La'aretz Kala Meikul Ba'aretz Alocha Kamoisei Bechutz La'aretz. So look, that's a very powerful question. At the end of the day, Rav wants to mechadish to you one thing and one thing only. What does he want to mechadish to you? That Orla in Chutz La'aretz, he's paskening like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Not that he's necessarily adopting his position essentially, but rather because he's the Meikle. And a Chutz La'aretz, you always take the Meikle's position. So I understand that you don't want him to say Halacha Kirub Akiva Ba'orla. That's very confusing, because that sounds like he's passing the Kirub Akiva even in Eretz Yisrael. But say that, so just add the words, Chutz La'aretz. Was just to be involved with Avyonis and Kafrisin and Orla. Why can't he simply say, Meirai V'Rabboi say? There is a famous machloikas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. I'm not getting involved in that machloikas. I'm not getting involved. But I just want to tell you that in Chutz La'aretz, then I can be rest assured, I can be safe to say that we pass the night Rabbi Akiva. That's not considered really taking a stance. Why is that not considered taking a stance? Because in Chutz La'aretz, you always take the lenient opinion. So why didn't you just say that? Again, what did he say? Avyonis, da-da-da-da-da. Kaprizin, something. Why didn't you go into details? Says the Gemara, no. The Omar Hochi. Had he said that I'm passing Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz, Haba Amina, I would have thought that what? Hani Mili Gaber Meiser Ilon the ba'aret gufo midrabanon. Aval gaba orlo de ba'aret is midoiraisa. Eime b'chutz la'aret nami nigzer. Kamash malo. Says the Gemara, one moment. The original machlekes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Loza was concerning what?
Maestras.
Specifically, Maisa Ilon. Says the Gemara, you must be informed that Maisa Ilon is only a chiyuv the Rabbanon, even Eretz Yisrael. Because min ha-Torah, what do you take maestras from?
Grain,
wheat, oil. But not from trees. Therefore, if you would have told you that what? Halacha, Kereba Kiva, B'chutz La'aretz. That's what we wanted him to say. Why did you have to mention Arla at all? The answer is because if you would have said Halacha is like Rebbe Kiva and Chutz La'aretz, what would you have said? Ah, I know why he's being so makel. Because Maestras is anyway Drabonon, even in Eretz Yisrael. So I can certainly afford to makel and Chutz La'aretz. But Orla, which is Doiraisa in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, who says we're so quick to makel in Chutz La'aretz? Then I'm going to make a Gzeira on Chutz La'aretz or to Eretz Yisrael. That's why he had to stress for me that he's paskening Orla in Chutz La'aretz. And it wouldn't have sufficed to merely say I pasken Rebbe Kiva in Chutz La'aretz. I had to stress that the subject is Orla. Don't think that I'm only being makel in the case of Maisa. I'm even being makel in the case of Orla. Let's see how the Gemara says that again. If had I indeed said that, what does that mean? Had I said that Halacha is that Rebbe Kiva in Chutz La'aretz without stressing and emphasizing that I'm talking about Orla, what I have said, Havamin, I would have said, Hani Mili Gabe Maisa Ilon. That's all fine and well with regard to Maisa Ilon, to Ba'aretz Gufa. In Eretz Yisrael itself, it's only Midrabonon, and therefore what? I can certainly feel free to Paskin Lukula in Chutz La'aretz. Avol Gabe Orla, says the Gemara, to Ba'aretz Midrabonon. But when it comes to Orla in Eretz Yisrael, it's actually Doiraisa. Oh, Z'ema B'chutz La'aretz Nami Nigzer. So maybe I should make a Gzeira in Chutz La'aretz as well. Komash Malon. That's why Rav needed to tell you his massive Chiddush that he's prepared to make in Chutz La'aretz even in Orla. Not just in Maestras, even in Orla. What does that mean, even in Orla? Despite the fact that Orla in Eretz Yisrael is Doiraisa. Says Rashi, Gaba Maisa, Zohod Rebbe Kiva. This whole statement of Rebbe Kiva, Legabi Maisa Itma, was learned, was discussing with regard to Maisa. The Maisa Peiro is Tohilon. The Ba'aretz Gufa, even in Eretz Yisrael itself, the Rabbanon. Sha'atayra lechiyav ola aser, because the Torah never obligates you to take maestros, ela, other than dog and tirish for Yisrael. But from Ilonois, Undrabon. So therefore, if Rav simply would have walked into the Beis HaMedrash and he would have said, Halacha Kereba Kiva, that certainly would be no good, because then you would have thought he's discussing Eretz Yisrael. If you would have said Halacha Kereba Kiva B'chutz La'aretz, that's also no good, Because I would say maybe he only means Maestris. Because Maestris is anyway Drabonon, therefore he feels the liberty of being Mekel in Chutz La'aretz. But Orlo maybe is worse, because Orlo is Deraisa in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe in Chutz La'aretz it'll also be Machmir. That's why you have to stress that what? He's being Mekel, Legra, Rekiva in Chutz La'aretz, even with regard to Orlo. Despite the fact that Orlo in Eretz Yisrael is Deraisa, and therefore he's not necessarily taking a stance on that, but at least in Chutz La'aretz it could be Mekel. Why be Mekel? Why aren't you Machmir Gzeira? No, because of a principle that whenever there's a Machloikas in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz we always take the opinion of the Mekel, and that's why it's been Mekel. Okay, we'll hold it over there.